ओम शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ओम सदाशिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरा। ओम The last nama we have done, which I checked in that website, because I didn't know, I forgot. That's a long time you have met me. So I checked with Shweta, she was also not sure. So then when I checked, as per that, it was 799th nama with which we concluded. So we have to start with 800th nama.
800.
Is that correct? Does anyone remember? Otherwise, you'll go by that. Yeah.
Hari Om Guruji.
Hari Om, Hari Om. The 799th Nama, Sarva Vijayihi. The Lord is considered as Sarva Vid. Sarva Vid means omniscient, one who knows everything. And Jayi. Jayi means victorious, one who is always victorious. See, victory is the capacity not to be bound by anything. Nothing is capable of binding the divinity. Can you all put yourselves in mute? I think everybody is in mute. Only iPad 2. I don't know who it is. iPad 2. Please put yourself in mute. So, Jai, all the time victorious, never succumbs to any pressure, never is bound. So, Sarvavit Jai means one who is omniscient, one who is all knowing. The knowing principle in every knowledge. That is what is called as Sarvavit. There is nothing that Brahman doesn't know, because anything that happens, Brahman is the substratum. In every knowledge, the knowing principle is Brahman. So it is Sarvavit. So Sarvavit Jai was the last nama that we saw. He has the knowledge of everything. He is Jai because he is the conqueror of all the inner forces like attachment, jealousy, greed, anger, etc. And also he is the conqueror of external enemies like Hiranyaksha. That is what the book says. So whether it is external enemy or internal enemy, the self conquers everything. See, in other words, the more and more we identify with the divinity, the more and more we have the capacity to function objectively, not get involved, not lose the battle with the inner enemies such as kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhaya, etc. So that is why he says sarvavit jayi. So to be able to be victorious in life, you need to first identify with the knowing principle within. The knowing principle behind all knowledge, behind all ignorance. In the Upanishads we have studied that Brahman is beyond known and the unknown. The same self through which you come to know what you know is the same self through which you come to know what you don't know. We have always discussed this example. They ask you, do you know my name? You say, yes, I know your name. That is knowledge. You have the knowledge of my name. If I ask you, do you know my father's name? You say, no, I don't know your father's name. So you are ignorant of my father's name. But you are saying, I know your name, knowledge. I don't know your father's name, ignorance. So the knowledge through which you know your knowledge and your ignorance is the self. The self is behind everything that you know. The self is behind everything that you don't know. So it is sarvavit. So when you gain that knowledge, you become the substratum behind everything. You remain objective. You conquer the inner forces as well as the outer forces. Now in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji talks about four different categories of people. Broadly speaking, two different categories called aggressive and passive. These are words that Swamiji has coined. Don't go into the dictionary meaning. Aggressive meaning those who use their intellect. Passive means those who don't use their intellect, they go by the mind. So there are two categories, aggressive, passive. Aggressive go by the intellect, passive go by the mind. And generally people are either selfish or unselfish, meaning good or bad from a layman's point of view. So from this we see that there are four different types of people, categories of people. They are called aggressively good, aggressively bad, aggressively unselfish. Using intellect, they do unselfish activities. Aggressively bad, meaning using intellect, they do selfish activities. Then comes passively good and passively bad. Passively good in the sense, without using the buddhi, mechanically they have certain good qualities picked up from their parents or grandparents or society or neighborhood, etc. They go by the mind. They are passively good, passively unselfish. Another category, passively bad, without thinking, without scheming, planning. They have picked up certain habits from the, you know, parents or anybody for that matter, without thinking. And they may have that selfishness with which they function, but they're not using the buddhi. So four different types of people are there. So when you say sarvavit jayi, which is the 799th nama, a person, first of all, he is talking about the Lord Vishnu here. The Lord who is the ultimate reality, Brahman, the Supreme Self. That Supreme Self is sarvavit and it is jayi. See, remember, if you go to the basics, I don't know whether you hold on to the basics, because there has been a lot of gap in our classes, so I'm just covering this basic. From Brahman, which is Nirguna Tattvam, when we talk about the same Brahman with gunas, we say Saguna Brahman. So with reference to the creation, we use the word Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? Maya Sahita Brahman. The fact that Brahman exists, the potential of non-understanding Brahman as Brahman exists. The potential ignorance of Brahman exists in Brahman. The fact that Lakshmi Narayan is existing now, the potential of not understanding Lakshmi Narayan as Lakshmi Narayan exists. So, Brahman is all knowing. Brahman is not having any ignorance. But the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman exists in Brahman. If Lakshmi Narayan is not there, there is no question of not understanding Lakshmi Narayan. So the potential of not understanding Brahman exists in Brahman. That potential is what we call as Maya. So now with this potential, when we talk about Brahman, we give a name called Ishvara, the Lord. And the Lord is superior to the potential. Meaning, this potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman can never make the Lord succumb to that and become ignorant. The Lord will always remain knowledgeable. That's called Sarvavit. Lord never forgets that he is Brahman, she is Brahman, or it is Brahman. Brahman never is ignorant of its own true nature. So the Lord always is the boss when it comes to Maya, the potential. Identifying with this potential, the subtle and the gross world has come about. So the subtle world meaning our thoughts and emotions. Gross world meaning this entire objects and beings. So Maya is subservient to Ishvara. Ishvara is never subservient to Maya. Whereas we, the beings of this universe, are all subservient to Maya. We succumb to Maya. Maya defeats us. But when it comes to Ishvara, Maya is incapable of defeating. So Ishvara is always victorious. So when you identify with Brahman, with Ishvara, and slowly, slowly, the quality of Ishvara, you start developing, whereby you also don't succumb to the pressures of the objects and beings of this universe, nor for the pressures of the thoughts and emotions within. So you also become more of a Jai, victorious. Why? Because you are all the time identifying with the self. Such a person is called as aggressively good. A person who identifies with Brahman and the fact that he's got the awareness of the higher, he will always be having this unselfishness or selflessness. As the awareness increases, it is impossible to become selfish. So an aggressively good person always has an edge over aggressively bad person, definitely over passive persons, whether good or bad. So that's why an aggressively bad person can easily finish off passively good or passively bad. But when it comes to fighting against aggressively good person, aggressively bad person loses. Why? Because firstly, aggressively good person is objective, has no expectations, and therefore there is no agitation or compelling force. So he has already conquered the battle by not having any pressure to win. So he remains or she remains always objective. Therefore, an aggressively bad person with expectations, with certain agenda, personal agenda, is always agitated and he is expecting so much. So there is pressure. So comparatively, aggressively good person performs better. So always, those who identify with self, to the extent they have identified with the self, they can become victorious in life. It's possible. But if you do not identify with the self, then you get involved in the world. When you get involved, then you succumb to the pressures. That's what happens. So therefore, Lord is called as Sarvavit Jayi. When they combine together, it becomes Sarvavit Jayi. Always victorious. Whether it is outside or inside battle. Next shloka. Suvarna Bindu Rakshobhya Sarva Vahishvareshwaraha Mahahrudo Mahagato Mahabhuto Mahanidhi Suvarna Bindu Rakshobhya Sarva Vahishvareshwaraha Mahahrudo Mahagato Mahabhuto Mahanidhi Suvarna Bindu. Swarna means gold. Swarna Bindu. With limbs radiant like gold. Chandogya Upanishad says, he who has the body made of gold, having a golden body even to the tip of his nails. That is how Chandogya Upanishad talks. See, golden means, even in the Isavasya Upanishad we studied, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasyapihitam Mukham. Hiran, the word is used. Hiran means gold. So, always they talk about gold. Why gold? Shining. Pure. Clean. So he says, one whose limbs are equal to the gold in brilliance. Meaning, always shining with awareness. Never loses the awareness. And also, Bindu. Bindu is the im. So, when you say Swarna Bindu, the great name of the Lord in the Vedic literature is what? What is the designation of Brahman? Anybody? What is the designation of Brahman which we have discussed before also? You all know that. What is the name of Brahman in the Vedic literature? Om. That Om is the name of the Lord in the Vedic literature. A represents the waking state. U represents the dream state. The Bindu represents the deep sleep state. Brahman is a pure consciousness which pervades the waking, dream and deep sleep states of consciousness. So it is a Swarna Bindu, the center, a deep sleep from which this entire universe has come about. That is Brahman. So it is indicative of the awareness. It is indicating the Brahman's designation, Swarna Bindu. The entire body is considered as golden body. First of all, Brahman has no body. Okay. So even in the 11th chapter of the Gita, when Arjuna wants to see Vishwarupa Darshana, and Sri Krishna is showing Vishwarupa Darshana, one of the ways in which he describes what he is seeing, Arjuna says, if 1,000 suns were to rise at one time, the brilliance of those 1,000 suns in comparison to the brilliance that I am seeing now is nothing. That is what Arjuna says. So, always when they talk about Brahman, they are talking about brilliance. That's exactly what he is also talking about here. That the limbs radiant like gold. So as you move from the gross to the subtle, you move closer and closer to the awareness. So you always point that with the light. In the 8th chapter of the Gita, if you remember, it talks about path of sun and path of moon. You know, he talks about the 6 months of Brahman's northern solstice, and then southern solstice, and then he talks about day, night, all that he talks about there. Which means what? Awareness, awareness, awareness. Nothing else. So Swarna Bindu means what? Golden body. Limbs are golden, meaning what? Full of awareness. That's all it means. Consciousness unconditioned by any equipments, whether gross or subtle. then akshobhyaha. Akshobhyaha, one who is never perturbed by anything, unruffled by anything. Nothing can disturb the pure consciousness of Vishnu. Akshobhyaha. He easily gets disturbed by something or the other, either within or without. Either subjectively or the objective thing causes disturbance. Desire, greed, jealousy, fear, anger. That is, these are all from within. But from without also, there are other things, you know, that disturb us. Asuras come and disturb when they do yajna. They study in Puranas, right? Whereas Brahman is unruffled by either the sense objects or the senses or the mind. Nothing can disturb the self. He remains unmoved. See, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, Sri Krishna compares a man of perfection to ocean. In ocean, āpūrya mānam acala pratiṣṭam samudram āpa pravishanti yatva. Just like how tons and tons of water is pouring into the ocean every minute. Similarly, tons and tons of water is constantly evaporating from the ocean. Does it make any difference to the ocean? To the ocean it makes no difference. Not at all. Ocean remains paripurna. Similarly, through your eyes, through your ears, through your nose, through your tongue, through your skin, there is constantly stimuli coming in. But what happens in our case is, within, there is a lot of desires. So they react and there is tremendous pressure to react and respond. In the case of a jnani, all goes in digestion. Nothing affects him. Independent of the receipts, he or she functions responding to the world, not affected by what goes in. So that's what he's saying, akshobhyaha. So whatever may go in, he is not at all affected. He is unruffled. So he is not afraid of going into the world. How, where can you go? If you run away from any place, you have to be in some place. And in that some place, there will be something or other disturbing. So, instead of running away from the sense objects, go deeper into your pure consciousness, into your real self. Then whatever may be the challenge, you will be able to face it cheerfully. That's what akshobhyaha means. Then sarva bhagishvareshwaraha, the very lord of the lord of speech, including people like Brahman, one who is the master of all the masters of learning, including Brahma. Brahmaji. Brahma means Brahmaji, Mr. Brahma, the creator. Sarva Vagishvareshwaraha. Again, we need to remind ourselves of what we studied in Keno Upanishad. In Keno Upanishad, when the student is asking about Brahman, the Guru says, Sotrasya Sotram, Manaso Manu, Vachoha Vachasam, Sau Pranasya Pranaha, Chakshushas Chakshur Atimuchya Dira Pretyasma Loka Amrita Bhavanti. So therefore, all the instruments, the organ of speech is an instrument, mouth. Organ of speech is an instrument. It is per se what? Inert. So, what lends the sentiency to the organ of speech to be able to speak? Is Brahman. So, therefore, when he says here, Sarva Vagishvareshwaraha, Lord of the Lord of Speech. Very, very interesting. The instrument of speech is asadharana karanam for what you speak. Karanam means cause. There is sound coming. From where is it coming? From the mouth. So, the organ of speech is a asadharana karanam. Organ of ear can hear. You can't hear through the mouth. You can't speak through the ears. Mouth has a special capacity. It can only talk. Similarly, ear can only hear. These are all specific instruments for specific perceptions. Our actions. But behind it all, there is a common factor. What is a common factor, anybody? Behind eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, organ of speech, hand, feet, etc.
The brain.
Brain is only the physical thing. Use another word. What is it? Mind.
Intellect.
Mind.
Okay. Brain and mind, what is the same?
No, it's not the same. Brain is the physical aspect.
Mind is then what?
Mind is the subtle aspect.
Okay.
So, brain belongs to the gross body. Okay. Brain through which the mind may express. But brain is not the mind. When a person dies, especially in Hindu dharma, what do? We cremate, no? When you cremate, are you cremating the brain also or not? Sadhana?
Yes.
But the mind and intellect travels, no? From one gross body to another. So brain, see, if you go to science, there they may say brain and mind are same. We are not getting into that. We are talking from the Vedanta point of view. So, mind is the sadharana karana. Sadharana means common. So, mind is the lord of speech. Mind is the lord of eyes. Mind is the lord of nose. You can say, here is a the lord of speech. Are you getting it? So who is the lord of speech? Self. Mind per se also can be objectified. Can you not objectify your thoughts? Sometimes you say, I don't know why I'm having such thoughts. Bhavrala. All negative thoughts. So which means what? You are aware of your mind. Correct or not? So mind the peeche bhi, there is something. What is that? That is that supreme sense. So all the sense organs, mind, intellect, equipment is their immediate lord. But these subtle instruments themselves get their dynamism to act only in the presence of Sri Narayana. Hey, Sinananda. What he is explaining is this. With Keno Upanishad, it becomes clearer. sarva vagishvareshwaraha. So now when you really understand the meaning, and then when you do sahasranamam chanting, like I said, you know, you may forget all the namas, doesn't matter. But if you remember even one nama, for example, Sarva Vagishvaresh, you will be extremely, extremely humble. Because through your speech, you give a lecture, a fantastic lecture, my God, I got so many audience, wherever he goes, he trolls the audience. All these things are right. All these things for marketing, the right. It's a different thing. But if you have given the speech and they're writing about it and you also get excited about it, that means you don't understand anything from philosophy. You have not understood anything. Your organ of speech is per se what? Inert. And it has got so much memories collected from so many speeches it is heard. And it is all there in the subtle body. Mano, buddhi, ahankar, chitta. Chitta is memory. And then mind is there. Then behind that, atma is enlivening. Because of that, the mind is able to direct the memories and the organs of action. And then you are giving this talk. And the ego is thinking wrongly, but echo, I've enthralled the audience. You could have done nothing if the self was not enlivening the mind, memory, organ of speech, etc. So what happens? You may be enthralling audience, you may be giving beautiful lectures, whatever it is. Speech, you take it as action. The organ of speech is what? Nothing but one organ of action. Our body is housed with five organs of action and five organs of perception. So the style of Shastra generally in many cases is they just use one equipment to refer to all. So when it says speech, it's not only speech, it's any action. Now I'm talking, you know, some of you may be taking notes. All these kinds of activities, whatever activities may be, is not possible without the Atma enlivening. So then, when you maintain such an awareness of the divinity as you are doing so many activities, you are actually worshipping the divinity through your activities. Specifically, there is no need for you to go to a mandir or a mosque or a church. Every action, even when you are eating, there is Brahman. So therefore, in the Keno Upanishad, it says, you have to find the self in and through your own experience. You don't have to have some extraordinary experience. All of you, you know, suddenly if I say in the class, okay, be serious. Try to find the self. Immediately what do we do? Close your eyes. Sit in meditation. As if in meditation you are going to catch hold of Brahman. You can catch hold of Brahman in meditation, no doubt. But you cannot assume that you can catch hold of Brahman only in meditation. Brahman is behind every experience. A good, bad and ugly experience. It's like behind any movie that is running in the theater, whether it is a action thriller movie, action movie, or a romantic movie, or a tragedy, or a comedy, doesn't matter. Behind all the movies, what is common? Anybody? Behind all movies, what is common?
The flow of the movie, or the movement, the thought, the creativity.
No.
Okay.
Projectors. The light coming from the projectors. Isn't it? The projector light is a common factor.
Yes.
The film role may have comedy movie, tragedy movie, action thriller, suspense, whatever genre it may be. But the projector light is common factor. That's what he's saying. Sarva Vagishwareshwaraha. Behind all activities. So when you understand this, you will be humble. You will always be identifying. You will always be rooted. You won't be shaken. You won't allow success to go to your head. Nor will you allow your failure to go to the heart. Failure, heart attack. Success, become egoistic. So, Sarva Vagishwareshwara, a beautiful Nama. So, with the grace of the Lord, the mind is functioning, memories are functioning, organ of speech is functioning. All this is happening. So why are you taking pride? It is because of your ignorance and madness. Therefore, the Lord behind every activity, whether it is speech or writing or dancing or fighting or whatever it may be, Brahman is behind everything. So the power for us to speak, for us to do any activity, comes from Brahman. So Brahman, we cannot speak. So the more and more you identify with the Brahman, there will be more power. The moment you disassociate from Brahman and start identifying with the body-mind-intellect complex, you will have less power. That's why it's a very simple thing. As you move to the subtler aspects of your personality, you will draw more energy. If you stay put at your gross level of your personality, you will have less energy. This is the problem. Those whose ideals are just at the material level, they have less energy compared to people who have a larger ideal. Compared to a person who is playing a sport just for his personal achievement, a person who is inspired and represents his country and is playing from that level, he is a completely different energy he will have. So the greater the objective or the ideal, the greater the energy. The lesser the objective, the lesser the energy. So Sarva Vagishwareshwaraha. Mahahridaha. The next Nama. 803. Number 803 Nama. Mahahridaha is called as Great Lake. Lord is called as what? great lake, swimming pool, refreshing like a swimming pool. See, what is happening is, after having gone with our thoughts and acting on our thoughts the whole day, we become physically tired. So extremely tired we become. So, when you just go and plunge into the lake of Brahman, your desires and passions temporarily subside. No, temporarily subside. You become calm, happy. Temporarily calm and happy. The agitations and everything comes because of the friction. With the ego, we have certain thoughts and get out to conquer the world. So, leaving all that and when we plunge into the self within, which is compared to the lake, there is refreshment, calmness. So, the yogis remain peacefully in the bliss of Brahman by plunging into it. As long as the crocodile is in water, it is comfortable. The moment it leaves the water and gets out, it gets into discomfort, you can say. Similarly, the moment we leave the self and go in the direction of the mind, start pursuing our desires, slowly, slowly we become fatigued, mentally tired. That's why a lot of people fall for meditation. You know, meditation class. Everybody says, oh, and I've been going to this meditation class. It's been really good for me. What is happening is, whole day you are pursuing the world, leading a stressful life. You come back in the evening, you temporarily get into this meditative state. You are actually escaping from your daily contact. That contrast gives you peace. So it is not that withdrawing from the activities has given you peace. It is moving away from the self that has given you the disturbance. So, you can move into activities without moving away from the self. That is possible. That's what the shastras are teaching. How to move into activities without moving away from the self, Atma. Being always in the lake of bliss, we should be able to go about dealing with our perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. So Brahman, the Paramatman, is of the nature of bliss. The yogis contemplate upon him, dip themselves in the lake of bliss and attain to great joy. That's what the book says. What does it mean? Simply means, you are the bliss. Not knowing that you leave it and go out. And you get into, you become tired. And temporarily you withdraw from that. You try practice meditation, etc. You feel nice. But how long you can be like that? Because the desires are there. So again you will get out, again you will feel the problem. This is what is happening to a lot of people. But yogis, they have understood. It is nothing to do with action. It is disassociating from my true nature. Therefore, Mahahrada, a great lake, plunging into it gives you tremendous bliss. Then Mahagartaha. Mahagartaha means one whose maya is difficult to cross, like a big pit, quagmire. Then you are in the quagmire, you get caught in the quagmire. The more you put in effort, the more you will get caught in the quagmire. This is the problem. So we are all stuck in this maya, do not know how to get out of it. Tane kya karna? How do you escape maya? How do you escape maya? I've already discussed about maya before. So who controls maya?
Mind.
Ishvara controls maya.
Ishvara, okay.
So if you associate with Ishvara, you can easily conquer maya. If you disassociate from Ishvara, maya will finish you. You know, there is in one old Tamil movie, there is a very interesting song. It says, Paramasivan kazhuthil irundhu paambu kettathu garuda saukhyama. What it means is, being around the neck of Lord Shiva, the snake inquired Garuda, how are you? Hey buddy, how are you, man? Who asked? The snake. Being where? Around the neck of Lord Shiva. Paramashiva. So Paramashivan kazhuthil irundhu paambu kettathu Garuda saukhyama. Then Garuda replies, Yarum irukkum edathil irundhu kondal illam saukhyame. Means what? When you are in the right place, everything will be saukhya. So you are around Paramashiva. Can't do anything to you. But if you just come out of Lord Paramashiva, Garuda will finish you. Eagle can finish you. So this is the problem. So if you want to deal with Maya, you have to befriend Brahman. You have to befriend Ishvara. But without the help of Ishvara, it is not possible to conquer the Maya. Again in Tamil, they say, Avan Arulale, Avan Thal Panindu. Even to get this thought, you should have the grace of the Lord. You know, at the right time, the thought has to come that, Arey Baba, I have to befriend Guru, I have to befriend Shastra. I have to befriend Lord. Such a thought to come, you should have done some punya to get the grace of the Lord. Otherwise it doesn't come. So, mama maya duratyaya, says the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, my maya is difficult to conquer. But, it's easy. How? Easy also, difficult also. Easy if you take my help. Like the snake around Paramashiva's neck. But if you think I will do it myself, you're finished. You'll be gone. So Mahagartha, a great shasana, Maya, Very difficult. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Very, very difficult. So therefore, very difficult to cross over when he says without the support of Ishvara. With the support of Ishvara, very look at it from a different angle. Now, I've been to this Amritsar last month. Terrible cold it was. It was, I think, 1 degree when I went. And I had gone with somebody, so I was there around 9:30, 10 o'clock in the night. So obviously, you are supposed to remove your shoes, your socks, everything. And you walk inside. There are people taking bath at that time. So walking is nothing. No? So now, you see how such a difficult thing, that such terrible cold, taking bath in that cold water, nothing is happening to them. Why? Why it's not happening anything? Bhakti. Bhakti Shakti. Remember that. When the ego is surrendered, that is bhakti. When that ego is surrendered, and you have that devotion, the pure love, even the difficulty becomes easy. I will conquer, I can finish it off, I can do such a tough thing. Then with tremendous stress you will live all your life when you function like that. But when you understand that, you know, it's not like that, where you have to fight. The problem is we are going on fighting. That is why we go through difficulty. So Mahagarta. Then Mahabhuta. Bhuta means being. Mahabhuta means great being. Beings are subject to birth and death. Beings are subject to time, past, present and future. But Mahabhuta means not subject to time, not subject to past, present, future. Also Bhuta means elements. Mahabhuta means he is the source from which all the elements have come about. That is another meaning, Mahabhuta. So the great substratum of all the elements, that is Brahman. So eternal substratum, that is Brahman, that is Vishnu. One who is beyond past, present and future. Trikala. So Mahabhuta. So when he says Mahabhuta, great being means all beings are in that great being. And the great being is also in every being. Every being is put together in that great being. And the great being is present in every being. So therefore, when this is understood by every being, each being can rise to that level of Mahabhuta. The small circle has to dissolve itself with the big circle. That's what Mahabhuta means. Otherwise, you know, people have all kinds of understanding about this Nama Mahabhuta. All the great beings have manifested from that great being. All the great achievements, glories have come from that great being. And the greatness of that great being is allowing all the beings to achieve whatever they have achieved, it remains quiet, unnoticed. That is why it is great. And the next nama in this shloka is Mahanidhi, the great treasure house of all beings. The great treasure house of all beings, the great abode, Nidhi, treasure house. We forget the treasure house within and we are going after the treasures of the external world. So therefore, one in whom all the great elements have their support is Mahana, a great one, and Nidhi, the most precious one. A real treasure is the self. It's independent. It's Satyam. That's your treasure. We don't treasure that. He only treasures everything else. We lose, we have lost the sense. And we have other treasures. We are very happy. Every now and then we open the cupboard to check if all the diamonds are there or not. Every now and then you open your computer to check if the bank balance is intact or somebody else has wiped off. Digital crimes are happening nowadays. You are here every day morning, you check once, every day night, you check once. So you are more concerned about the other treasures of the world. But the real treasure is the self within. That's why he says, Mahanidhi. Everything else is precious trifles, in the words of Swamiji. The book Vedanta Treatise, Swamiji uses the word precious trifles. You go on the road, you see a lot of gravels. Then you see some of the diamonds you are wearing. What are both? Both are stones only. That is also stone, this is also stone. This stone is less in number, that stone is more in number. Therefore, that stone has more value. Because it's less. This is more available, so value is less. So this is also trifle, that is also trifle. This is also stone, that is also stone. But it's a precious trifle. But really speaking, it's a precious trifle for people who are ignorant. But for people who are knowledgeable, what is precious in life cannot be a trifle. What is precious will be something that will always remain, not something that is transient, passing, fleeting. And that is Brahman. Therefore, the real treasure is Brahman. The buddhi is not there to see what is treasure. We are not offended or disturbed by the fact that we have lost ourselves. But little bit something happens to our cards or the glasses we are wearing, immediately, oh my God. There is deeper loss. They are absolutely unaware. Outside there is something very small that has happened. And it's such a big thing it does to you. Get terribly affected. Because you don't understand what is your real treasure. The real treasure is the self in you. The real treasure is the self-knowledge. Yacheda veti datta satya matri nachediha veti mahati vinashti. Then Upanishad says, if you have not got the self-knowledge, it's a total loss. We don't understand it. So we are going on very happily, no problem. But the day you understand, you will have a very big U-turn in life. You say, yeah, enough is enough. You know, recently I had gone to the ashram and came. I was there for a week. So I met few young students who have come to join the ashram now. They're studying there. One girl I met was just 2 months old, studying the course. She is a graduate student from Berkeley. And then she had her own startup. She closed everything and came and joined now. She said, I want to go to the depth of this knowledge. Everything else can wait. Like that, there is one example. There are examples where, what do I care about? What is my real self? But I care about all the other so-called precious trifles. It is not going to come with me. It is not what I came with. So obviously they are not going to come with me. So what? My friend, I don't care. I don't know who is my friend. That's the problem. The problem is I really don't know what I want. That's the problem. The day I know what I want, my life is done. I never ask this question, what do I really want in life? That is how the Vishnu Sahasranama started. No? Kodharma sarva dharmanam bhavata paramomata. Yudhishthira is asking, which is the ultimate dharma? Knowledge that I should know. What is that I should know? I should know how to be free. And I have the ability to be free. I don't know how to be free. In everything I get caught. Trapped. Then I am thinking, how to extricate myself. So therefore, first I should ask myself, what is it that I really want? Kimekam daivatam loke kimbap ekam paraya svantakam kamarchanta prapna yurmana vashubam. These are words of Yudhishthira. Ko dharma sarva dharmanam bhavatak paramomata. So all these are, he is asking, what is it? Knowing which nothing else remains to be known. What is that nidhi? What is that treasure house which I should hold on to? Should hold on to the self within, not anything else. But we lose the self and then we don't even know that we've lost. Judas Iscariot was ready to, not ready, he actually exposed Christ, Jesus Christ. For just 12 silver coins or gold coins, I don't remember. This is what we are also doing. We have lost our lives for all these petty things in life. Running around after all this, mortgaging our life, suddenly and somebody sends a birthday wish, we know, oh my God, 50 years ho gaya, 55 ho gaya, 60 ho gaya. Suddenly we realize, what have I done? Everything is just memory. Nothing has happened, just is there in our memory now. And now suddenly fear comes. 60, even if I won't live 100, only 40. Now already knee pain, all pains are there. What is going to be the quality of life even if I am assuming live 100 years. Fear comes, bhaya comes, everything. Go through all worse situations. Therefore, what is the real treasure? This is Mahanidhi, the great abode, which is the self. So let us conclude our class today. 806th Nama. We have done up to. Om. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudhasyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaibha Buddhyatmana Va Prakriti Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Yeah.